Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That's What People Do. You are joined by me, Ryan McGowan, and as always, James Kay. How are you doing today, mate? You alright?
I am good, thank you, Ryan, so much for asking. The clocks went back. I think we've already referenced this, but I believe they also went back in America, so they can get on board with this now as well. It's dark. It's dark early, and it makes me sad.
I don't know why that's sort of really just thrown me off. I know that clocks go back in the UK, but I just never realised that they went back everywhere else.
But in a different day, which I don't really understand. And also, my beef with it is, it's called daylight savings, and yet it goes dark at 4:30. What daylight are we saving? Where is it? Where is this daylight we have saved? It's gone.
Because is it... Wasn't the... What a great way to start, by the way.
Just bin off daylight savings. I'm immediately in with a rant. Russia did it. And let's all follow Russia's suit and everything they do. Just what? Bin off daylight savings.
Let's not follow Russia's example to the letter, but...
No, we should.
No.
That's wrong. No, please don't. That's a joke.
What do we do with... Wait. I'm very confused. So Russia doesn't have... The clocks don't go back or forth.
No, they just keep the same time throughout the year.
And it just gets darker at this time now.
When it gets dark, it's dark. And when it... Yep, just live your life by the sun.
Well, that makes sense, I suppose.
But I also saw something else as well, right? If you create like a whole new month, right, and have 13 months and just have 28 days every month, maybe I saw something stupid and I've been baited, then every month will like start on a Monday and end on a Sunday or something, and it's just everything's really linear.
Well, that's clever.
I don't know why I brought that up because I don't really have the facts, but it was interesting. Time is a concept. Where is this episode going?
Well, I'm sure... Didn't Neil deGrasse Tyson say that, obviously, like, we've got this thing with the clocks that eventually we'll get, like, an extra day or something because they're going back... I forget. I'm not...
Isn't that leap year, though? Like, every year is 365.25 days.
Yeah, isn't that the point of a leap year, to, like, keep it on track?
And a leap year just adds on another day. Just, what are we doing? I don't understand why we're bringing the clocks back.
I don't
because
get
if
it.
We didn't, it would go dark at 4:30 and not 4:30.
I think I know the reason why they brought the clock. They do the clocks thing, and it's to do with farming, so that the farmers could get up earlier when there's and to try and get as much daylight as possible. So they'd start earlier in the day, so they can get still as much done, and then they can finish before it gets dark or something like that.
Okay,
and
so what they didn't factor into that was my mental health and the fact that I've got to buy a fucking sad lamp so I don't get sad.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, wow, what a way to start. I did not think we'd go down
that road.
I don't
even know what this episode's about, but fuck it, we'll just rant about time.
Yeah, well, we've got time to kill. So this is a very much a different episode to what we normally do now. This is what we would call a relaxed fit episode. So there's no script here, there's no person we're talking about. We're just talking to each other, and you guys are sat alongside us, listening to us like you would at the pub. No, the point behind this is James is going away soon for a few days, and in that time it means that we're not going to have any time to record an episode, and I have not had time to write one as of yet. So we're having a nice relaxed episode where we can talk about a few things and then talk about James's trip to Italy and yeah, help tide us over for a little bit as something to listen to in the meantime. So with that being said, should we just start off with the trip, James? Should we start with that?
Sure. I'm also going to say it's a really good thing that we messaged, or I think you messaged me earlier about a comment someone made on one of our posts, and then somehow we realised that we hadn't got an episode out and I was going away. Because I feel like without that conversation, we just wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, very good point. So
kudos you're going, to that guy.
It's been mentioned, isn't it, before, but you're going to Italy.
Yes, I'm going to Italy, Ryan, on Monday. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is my last day of work, so I'm very excited.
And you got, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to pack or chill out, what?
It's also my birthday at the weekend, so if anyone wants to send me anything. So I'll be seeing family, doing all the birthday things, going out for an Italian meal on Saturday night, funnily enough, before I go to Italy, because why not?
Getting into the spirit of it, you know, when in Rome.
Yep. And then Monday, I fly.
So I wondered if anyone cares enough to hear it. Where are you going? Where are you starting? Where are you finishing off? What spurred this on?
So I think for the relevance of the podcast as well, this isn't just me gloating about holiday. This is going to be a documentary for our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
So this has relevance to the podcast. I'm not just shoving it down your throat that I'm going to the fucking Amalfi Coast in November. It's gonna be really good to watch, I think. So basically, on Monday, I fly from London Gatwick, which I don't know why they call it London Gatwick because it's nowhere near fucking London, to Florence, which is the home of the Renaissance. It's where the Renaissance really boomed, and it's also where most of the world's art, I say most, a lot of the world's most famous art is stored. So that's gonna be very cultural. Like Michelangelo's David is there.
Mm-hmm.
The Venus, is it the Birth of Venus, that picture of the woman in the shell? That's in the museum there.
Yeah.
And it's also where...
She's got a funny story, that origin story, isn't it? She, like, didn't Zeus just ejaculate into the sea and she came out of that?
Didn't know that, Ryan, but I'll make sure I find that out while I'm there for the documentary.
Yes, I want to know all about it.
It's also the birthplace of gelato, so I'll be getting a lot of gelato.
In November?
Yeah, I couldn't give a fuck. I'm going to be wolfing it down.
Yeah, you know, like Italians can be a bit funny about like that their coffee, and they'll be like, no,
no cappuccino after 12.
Yeah, so like you don't drink cappuccino after 12. I wonder if they're like that with gelato, where they're just like, no, it's November, we don't serve gelato, and you'd be like, I've come all this way.
I'm literally English. I don't care. You're gonna serve me that ice cream, and you're gonna be pleased about it.
Yeah. So we're heading to Florence, and we're gonna see some things. Is Florence? Yeah. No, Florence is not where Romeo and Juliet is set, is it? That's in Verona.
No, that's Verona. Yeah. Florence is... Have you played Assassin's Creed 2?
Oh, Christ, yeah. That's got the massive dome that I've climbed a million times.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on. I've got the name here because I've got the document up. Oh, someone stall while I get the name.
Well, I'm just thinking, if I went to Florence, I would be able to know exactly where I'm going.
This is the thing. There's loads of TikToks about it. Piazza Navona. No, that's wrong. That's in Rome. Fuck, I've got the wrong name here. This is good, isn't it? Because I've... Piazza del Duomo, that's the one. I'd have gone to the wrong place. It's the world's largest dome, like
it's bloody
man-made
brilliant.
Dome.
It's bloody brilliant, honestly. And it takes a while to climb up. Honestly, I was getting tired just doing it with a controller.
I will be climbing up. I've got my tickets.
That's
going to be exciting.
That is something like I've seen a few TikToks of that where there are like girlfriends who have like filmed their boyfriends and they're in a particular place and he's like, oh no, I know where I'm going. She's like, how do you know where you're going? He's like, oh, I've played a game, Assassin's Creed or GTA or even back in the day, what was it called? The Getaway.
The Getaway?
Is it Getaway?
Yeah,
it's the one that was set in London. Like a GTA set in London.
Was it? Oh, no, I never played that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very good. Anyway, so from Florence, where do we go?
So Florence is a fleeting trip, and then I go to everyone's favourite, Rome. And I just want to take a minute. I've already done this off air to Ryan, but the Italian train system is amazing. 18 quid for a two-hour journey is fantastic. I go to Rome. I've lost Google Chrome. There it is. And I'm in Rome for quite a while. Because when in Rome. I also feel like I need to say that I'm doing this all by myself. I literally have no one going with me. So it's going to be quite a lonely trip. Which is mainly why I'm doing a documentary. So I can talk to the camera.
Mm.
So from there, I sort of just, I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna sort of just wander around, have dinner. My Airbnb is right by the Trevi Fountain, so.
Wow, good spot.
But I've seen videos of them like it's absolutely rammed, and it's just, I hate tourists. He says as a tourist himself. So I'm gonna go at like 5 a.m. to try and get some nice snaps for the gram.
Mmm, sounds good.
Yeah, I say I'll go at 5 a.m. I won't. My alarm will go off, and I'll be like, fuck that. But the thought's there.
Mm.
And then on the 16th, I've booked a 3-hour walking tour around the Colosseum, the Roman Forum, and Palatine Hill.
Which is funny.
I'm really excited about.
Because famously, you hate doing walking.
I do, yeah, but I feel like when I'm in Rome, and also like the Colosseum, the Forum, and the Palatine Hill, everything's like it's really condensed. Mm. It's not like we're walking far. Mm. We're just going to be standing there chatting for a long time.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's okay. But there is going to be a lot of walking in Rome, so it's going to hurt. But the Colosseum, like, we get to go on. Because when you book tickets to the Colosseum, I don't know if anyone's ever been to Italy and had to do this, you don't automatically get to go on the Colosseum floor. That's, like, extra.
Right.
So I had to make sure I bought that, obviously, so I can look around like I'm Maximus that's just slain Commodus. And
oh, that's a foreshadow to what we're going to be talking about later.
Yeah, we'll bring that up later.
Yeah.
So that's that day. And then the following day is the Vatican and Sistine Chapel. If you're listeners of this podcast, you know that we're not religious people. But I think it's really cool to go to, one, the smallest country on earth, and two, just see the Vatican and what it holds, because it holds some of the most treasured artifacts in the world. And also I get to see the Sistine Chapel ceiling, which is, what the fuck's it called?
It's Michelangelo's one, isn't it?
It's Michelangelo's where God and the bloke's touching. It's just the Sistine Chapel. You know,
Adam?
Yeah.
Creation of Adam, yeah. Or something?
If you Google it, you'll know it. But the reason they say you can't take pictures was originally because Nippon, the Japanese camera company, like, they did some refurbishments there or something, and then they had the rights to the image of that painting, so no one else could take pictures. But then Nippon lost the rights, and then they just thought flashes are damaging the artwork, which is fair enough, so now you can't take pictures in there.
Is it, though? Does flash damage artwork?
Apparently. Every museum I've ever been to has said that it is. So either there's a great conspiracy going on, or they're actually...
Yeah, or
to be fair,
just...
we have DVDs downstairs. Well, who uses DVDs? And they've been in the sun for so long, all of the colours faded off the case.
Yeah, that's fine, but that's because it's UV that's doing it. But I didn't think that camera flashes used UV. Unless I'm being naive and UV lights...
I'm sure there's some sort of scientific reason.
Or is it the reason and the fact that they just want you to go there and see it yourself and pay money?
Yeah, this is the thing. Obviously, it's one of them that I would love to get a picture of it. Maybe I'll try and get a sneaky one. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then also that night, I booked a ticket to go and watch Italy versus Macedonia.
Oh, yes. That's a great
at Roma's
shout.
Football stadium. So I'm really excited for that.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, but also England are in Italy's group and we just beat them. So I hope they... I'm just not going to speak to anyone. I don't want to get beaten up because Italian fans are quite passionate people.
I love the idea of you trying to be incognito. So you haven't spoken to anyone, but you are going to be wearing an England shirt.
Yeah, just sat there, just mugging everyone off. I've been tempted to buy some sort of Italy jacket or shirt or something just to blend in a little bit more.
You've got some Italian football shirts, haven't you?
Italy is the one country I don't have a football shirt of. I've got an AC
shirt.
Milan one, but like, why would I wear an Italian club shirt?
We've got it's a like Roma shirt an and you'll be game. In a Roma stadium.
Exactly, but it's also Lazio stadium and I don't want to get beaten up by some angry Italian man.
Good point.
Anyway, they're very passionate people.
From Rome, where do we go?
Well, this thing, the day after that, I'm still in Rome, but I've given myself a rest day to just sort of do what I want to do. So I feel on that day I'm going to do the Pantheon, which is one of the oldest churches in the world. It's like there's the building with the hole in the roof, and when it rains, it just simply gets wet inside.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'd also like to do the Circus Maximus, Spanish Seps, obviously, all of that. And in between this, there's going to be a lot of pasta and pizza and everything you wanted. And I also want to go to the Appian Way as well, and because the original Roman road is still there. So I'd quite like to see that.
Mm.
But from there, we go... to Well, we go to Napoli very briefly, and then I go out of Napoli to Sorrento, which is just sort of on the other side of the Amalfi Coast. I've seen pictures and it's beautiful, and the Airbnb I've booked, like, I've really splashed out, and it overlooks the coast. It looks stunning. So I'm excited for that. But the reason I'm staying there is not for the view or Sorrento lemons, because that's where they come from. It's for Pompeii.
Ah, yes.
So I'll be going to Pompeii, and maybe Herculaneum as well, because apparently that's better. I need to book my Pompeii tickets. Fuck, this is all bringing up stuff I need to do for me.
I hope everyone's finding this fairly interesting, that James is just running through his itinerary and be like, oh, I've still got to do that.
Yeah, I was literally saying earlier, like, what else do I need to do for this trip? I'm done. Turns out quite a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Pompeii. And if you don't know Pompeii, go listen to our Spartacus episode, because he's on Vesuvius for a little bit. Mm. And Pompeii is famously the town that was destroyed.
On the wrong side of it.
Yeah, when Vesuvius went up. And loads of things sort of like, time just sort of stopped, and you can still see like carcasses of people that have just been held in time because of ash and
yeah, it was
lava
that,
and whatever.
That pyroclastic flow, isn't it? That was the thing that did them, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that would be cool. Places I've always wanted to go. And then I go to Napoli, and the only reason I'm going to Napoli is because Napoli is home of the pizza. I'm sure Americans, if there's any New Yorkers, you want to fight me, but I don't care for American pizza. Couldn't give a fuck about it. It's boring. But give me like a wood oven near Napoli pizza. I can't wait.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. Like Italy for pizza. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's going to be good. I don't rate the whole stone-baked pizzas.
Do you not? No, that's the way to do it.
Do you know what it is? They always come out like incredibly thin. They're like, they're incredibly
thin. Yeah, a little
bit
charred on the outside.
A bit of charcoal on the side. Like, there's no crust. There's no, like,
and it's
soft
dough. It's sourdough,
dough,
so it's, like, it's almost, oh,
it's
just, it's
too
so
hard
nice.
And it's crunchy. I don't like that. I like that, like, that, like, American
sweet
deep pan where it's thick boy, saucy. Like, the crust is, like, spongy. It's got air in it. And you can just eat that.
Not.
Dip that in some, like, sauce afterwards. You're like, oh, that is good. Which is funny because my partner, Jenna, is obsessed with, like, stone oven fire, whatever they're called.
Good. She knows what she's talking about.
That she's obsessed with it, and she always wants that. And I'm like, I just don't really rate it.
Yeah, but Napoli is like home of the pizza, so I will be going there. And there's already a place I've picked out. Apparently, it's like an hour and a half queue, but it's said to be the best pizza in Napoli, so I'll give it a try.
Sounds good.
And then I'll go home
on the 22nd. Be back on the 22nd. Which
is the day
that a rather infamous, well, I suppose it's infamous is the wrong word to use. What's the thing that's like, it's kind of like, it's out there at the moment? Like, that's when this film that is quite controversial at the moment is coming out, that everyone's talking about, a film on Napoleon, comes out on the 22nd.
Yeah, it is.
Now, James, you've written an article about this, and why have you written an article about this? What's the point behind writing an article about just a film that's coming out?
Okay, so first of all, if you haven't read the article, that's WPD.com, go and read it. It was fun to write. So it's a film, obviously, about Napoleon. And recently, Dan Snow, if you're not familiar, in the UK, he's a massive historian, arguably probably one of the most famous in the country. He went on TikTok and he watched the trailer and he just pulled it apart and picked out all sort of the inaccuracies of it. And then I think it was The New Yorker who brought this up to Ridley Scott, who told Dan Snow to get a life. So it just brought up an interesting debate of, do film directors have sort of a moral obligation to portray history as it happened in a correct way, or can they do what they want with creative license?
Yes. So, as you say, the whole point behind the article was to try and figure out, you know, do directors who make films have, like you say, a moral obligation, or any sort of obligation really, to make a historically accurate film when you're talking about historical things? And you put up a poll, and we were really surprised to see how split it was. And it was that should directors take more care, or just fuck it, it's a film, enjoy it? And we were surprised to see that it was fairly evenly split.
I was surprised until we spoke about it, and now I'm not surprised, because I assumed that everyone would agree with me. Like, spoiler alert, me and Ryan have different views on this, and I believe Ryan thinks that everyone would have just agreed with him, and that's sort of just how things go.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's
so okay then. So let's break it down. So obviously, new Napoleon film coming out, made, directed by Ridley Scott, featuring Joaquin Phoenix playing Napoleon, and it looks stunning. It looks beautiful. Like, and most most Ridley Scott films do look stunning. He's a fantastic director, evidently. However, obviously, Dan Snow put his TikTok out, and he's sort of broken it down. And quite a lot of historians who are very, very famous for, like, that's their field of study have gone, like, oh, there's some issues here. They've broken that down and brought those out. So let's just go on that. So you asked the question in your article, does a director or anyone who makes a historical film have a duty to make it accurate? And we put it out there, and we've had loads of you guys commenting on our posts saying your opinion is. And quite a lot of people, I must say, have been saying that the directors do have an obligation to make them accurate. Now, for clarity, I stand on the side that I think directors do have an obligation to make, if you're making a historical film based on a very based on a true person and a true events, to make it as accurate as possible. And James, you disagree, so I'll let you jump on why you don't think it that they have the rights or need to do that.
I think we have to define accurate first, because I was having a conversation with a friend earlier, and accurate could be Napoleon had such and such for dinner in real life, but in the film they portrayed him having such and such. Like, it's tiny minute details that unless you really are an expert on it, you're not going to pick up. I think those things are point, like, who cares? Who gives a fuck? But in the trailer, there is the Battle of the Pyramids, and it is seen that Napoleon is at the base of the pyramids firing cannons at the pyramids in Egypt, which didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Well, it's interesting, important to point out that not only did that not happen, they say that what is famous as being called the Battle of the Pyramids happened about 10 miles away from the pyramids, so you would have seen them in a distance. But the point being that, you know, it doesn't look that good on camera.
This is the thing.
Pyramids.
It's going to look amazing on camera, and I don't think it impacts the truth of it so much. It's just it happened. It's just the setting of it has changed. I don't think anything. We haven't seen the film, so who knows? But as long as what you're doing doesn't change the course of history, like Tarantino does at the end of Inglourious Basterds, where they just kill Hitler, as long as it doesn't change the course of history, I think it's fine. You can take artistic license, because you're then getting this film out. It happened with Oppenheimer. You get this film out, and more people become interested in the subject matter and become interested in history that perhaps weren't in the first place. And then, touch wood, fingers crossed, they go and do their own research. Because I think it's not a failure of a filmmaker if someone takes everything they're saying as gospel. It's the failure of the viewer. You should go away and do your own research instead of sitting down for 2 hours and then just branding yourself an expert and thinking everything's correct.
Yeah. Now, I've spoken to my partner, who, I don't know if we've probably mentioned it before. Jenna is TWPD's filmmaker. She, if anything is on Patreon or if we filmed it, chances are Jenna was behind the camera, putting it together, editing it. Jenna is a graduate with a master's in film and television production. So I remember speaking to her before when it comes to, like, you know, things being true. Do you have to say it? And it was, as long as it's based on, you've got then freedom to kind of do what you like. Because it's not saying this is a true depiction of the events as told. It is based on the events in history or whatever. I quite like, you know, the odd embellishment of things to make it more theatrical, or just to, like, tell a story easier to understand, or break it down a bit more. But, like, I don't know. I don't necessarily like things if they're completely inaccurate. So I don't necessarily have an issue with, like, the things that Dan Snow brought up when he was breaking it down. Like, when he's saying, oh, Napoleon never charged into battle. That one is kind of pointless then. Why do it?
That's going to look amazing on camera, watching Joaquin Phoenix on the back of a horse.
I mean, it looks fantastic in the trailer, but Dan Snow himself has said, and some other historians have said, that you know, that's their field. Napoleon supposedly was notoriously just a bad horse rider, just wasn't very good at riding horses. That wasn't his thing. Yeah. So he would, one, never have ridden into battle, but two, that was not his job. His job was to stand on top of a hill and watch the battle and then sort of play command and conquer with it all, sort of just, you know, from afar, right, that needs to happen, go do it, and then someone would run off and go tell people what to go do. He was there to orchestrate a battle, not be in it and just not have an idea of what's going on. So he would never have done that. I have seen some people say, oh, he wouldn't have said that. Okay, yeah, you don't know that. If it's not written down, yeah, you don't know whether he would or wouldn't. You didn't know him. You could say, oh, it wasn't necessarily in his nature to be like that. Okay, fair enough. But that's, again, based on just writings that either he has done himself or people have written about him. So he may have just had an off day. Maybe he would have said something. But those ones, I'm a bit like, you don't know that. Just, like, enjoy the moment or let it have its time. But when it comes to, like, documented things, then I'm like, well, maybe you should be accurate. But then at the same time, Battle of Pyramids, 10 miles away from the actual pyramids, I get it, that one. I'm willing to give it leeway. I don't mind if it's accurate in terms of the storytelling, in terms of, like, the information that's there is correct. Battle of Pyramids happened around there. I don't care necessarily how close or far away it was. Don't necessarily shoot the pyramids. That's dumb. That was just for the sake of making it look cool. And don't get wrong, that shot looks really cool in the trailer. I think you can have creative license. We mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, Gladiator, another Ridley Scott movie, heavily sort of loose when it comes to historical accuracy. Now,
yep,
there's a video game that's rather famous. We brought it up, Assassin's Creed. Historically, they bring things up, like, and they're actually, Ubisoft is the company that make them, have been praised for making such high detailed, historically accurate settings for these video games. However, it does say at the beginning, a lot of the historical characters and names and whatnot are just used for creative storytelling kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They say that at the beginning because this isn't real. It's set in a real time and it's using that as its setting, but it's not a real historical event. And I'm happy with that because that's kind of like with Gladiator. The characters and the era and the story, the characters and the era, that's correct. That's real. That happened, all that kind of stuff. But this is a fictional story. And I think
but
that's
the difference.
But then you
get to the end when Commodus is a real person who Joaquin Phoenix plays. Like, he existed. And then, obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, he gets killed at the end by Maximus. That's not how Commodus died. Commodus was a gladiator, and he was the only Roman emperor who fought in the Colosseum. But he wasn't killed in the Colosseum.
Yes.
As
however,
the film depicts.
I see that in the same way, and you brought him up earlier, I see that as it's the same as Tarantino's quote-unquote historical films, Inglourious Basterds, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I see that in the same way. I see him using a historical era and the characters, but making up his own story. And that I'm okay with, because that's not saying, oh, I'm trying to tell a real-life story here. We're just using that as the narrative. And
yeah, that's
sort of,
fair.
That's a basis. And I get that. But with Napoleon, you are actually trying to tell a real story about a real person who did exist. Mm. And I find it's like, if you're trying to go so far, you might as well just go all the way.
But then listening to Dan Snow, by the way, throughout his TikTok, is saying, I'm really looking forward to this film. It looks great. So, and I believe he did an interview with Ridley Scott.
Yeah, he sat down with Ridley Scott and they've talked it through and you know, He's obsessed with, like, going to see this film. And to put it out there, so am I. I think this is fantastic. I can't wait to see it.
But I don't think anything that he brought up changes the course of history. They've just sort of taken things that happened and sort of just pushed them a little bit more. To, like, Marie Antoinette's death, execution. Napoleon wasn't there in real life. Dan Snow mentioned her hair would have been different to what was in the trailer. But I think having Napoleon there in the film, watching Marie Antoinette's death, which sort of signifies the end of the French monarchy at the time, that's a powerful image, even though he was down the other end of France in real life. For the purposes of storytelling, I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It doesn't change what happened. It just changes sort of the view of it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I get why that's done. You mentioned earlier, you were like, well, if you want historical accuracy, just go watch a documentary. And you're like, yeah, fine. I don't know. So I just feel like, you know, if you're going to do it properly and just do it justice. I was thinking earlier, you mentioned Vikings as well as being something. And I was then saying that I see Vikings in the same way that I see Troy, in the same way that I kind of see like the film Alexander. Seeing them as being like, these are stories that are almost so far in the past that a lot of the accuracy levels is just sort of, I don't know, we don't necessarily have true written down sources of specific things necessarily that happened. So like, I feel like with those ones, you've got a little bit more freedom to play because there's so much ambiguity. We've done it when we've done an episode on Diogenes. I'm sure there's lots of facts or tales of Diogenes that we mentioned that didn't actually happen, but as time's gone on, they've become factual. Do you know what I mean? So I'm okay with some of those being like, okay, like this didn't quite happen. Like famously, Ragnar Lothbrok and Rollo are not brothers. They weren't brothers. They're about so many hundred years between one another. But they are brothers in the show, and they both invade Paris together. And it's like, well, Ragnar didn't necessarily invade Paris because that happened in like 900 something AD. He wouldn't have been around. He'd have been too old or whatever. I get those ones. I don't know. But then if you are basing that on your... I don't know, James. I know what I would want. I would want it to be historically accurate. And if that means losing a character or whatever, so be it. But then, yeah, I also like documentaries. I love history. I'm a big history buff and I want it to be accurate at all times. But then I also understand you're trying to make a movie that is entertaining. So I feel like I've just ranted. Cool. I've just ranted about nothing and I've not really got anywhere.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But then there is the opposite of that, Hacksaw Ridge, which if you don't know the film Hacksaw Ridge, go back and listen to one of our first episodes of Desmond Doss.
Yeah.
And that's who that's about. The director, Mel Gibson, thought that some of the stuff that happened to Desmond in real life was so far-fetched that he couldn't put it in the film because people wouldn't believe it. Like, when he was rescuing people, I believe he was shot in the neck. Mm. And he thought, I'm not going to put that in the film, because if you see a man get shot, you think he's going to die. And he didn't, so he left it out.
Yeah, but then there'd be something else that's in the film that's absolutely ridiculous anyway, so why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Hollywood's its own beast. And I think you've got to take Hollywood at face value of, I'm just going to sit back, I'm going to enjoy whatever... And I'm not gonna, but the worry is that we saw it, we uploaded a TikTok about Oppenheimer and it got like 1,700,000 views, whatever, and it kicked on, people were going for each other in the comments, and it was blindingly obvious that people hadn't researched Oppenheimer. They just watched the film and assumed they knew everything.
I
think that is the worry when it comes to films, that people will be so like, they'll just assume this happened. I think the same thing happened with Troy as well. People just take that as gospel when there's basically no evidence. Well, the Trojan War happened, I believe, but there's essentially nothing written about it. No, people still argue about where Troy was. They don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know where my concern sort of comes from. I don't know what I'm actually upset about, because at the end of the day, I will watch this film and watch films like that, and I know it's a film, and I'm sure there are some things that are going to be inaccurate when it comes to those, and I will just see it as a film. And as someone who's a history fan anyway, I will then go, oh, I really want to learn more about this, and I'll go then watch about a million documentaries and go mad and learn so much about it. There are obviously people that aren't like that, and they'll just watch it and go, oh, fucking hell, like, you know, like Napoleon, like, once shot at the pyramids, and then there'll be me that goes, no, they didn't. And they'll be like, well, yeah, he did. They wouldn't put it in the film if they didn't do it. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's the point. He didn't do it, and they did put it in the film. There are a lot of people that don't do it. I think maybe what it is just that it speaks to a sort of where we are today in society, in that people don't necessarily care about the facts. They care about what they're told. So people will just take on board what they're told and assume it's correct, rather than doing their own homework. And I'm like, maybe my fear is, I don't care if you're getting your information from a film. I think the issue I have is that it's just almost like a mirror to the world that we live in that people will just take whatever they see on the screen as being true, and I just that irritates me. Both of us, like, we host a podcast where we do a fuck ton of research to make sure that what we're telling is accurate. And I hope that people who listen to the show learn facts about things and then go off and tell their friends about them, and they'll be like, oh my god, how did you know about that? And you'd be like, oh, I listened to a show that talks about it. Whereas I'm sure there are other people that, you know, I don't know, you could be like watching Joe Rogan or something, and he'll say something that's just blatantly not true, but he thinks that.
Yeah, it is worrying that people sort of don't do their own research. So this is kind of a tangent, but another thing, it's the film on Netflix called The King, starring Timothée Chalamet, where he plays Henry V.
Your brother famously has issues with it.
Yeah, my brother is a historian. That's his job. And he sat through the whole thing, and he was just really quiet the whole way through. And I was like, are you enjoying it? I was like, yeah, it's fine if you like Shakespeare, because it was mainly based on... And this is another thing. People take Shakespeare at face value. Shakespeare fucking didn't know anything. He made shit up.
Yeah.
But then there was one scene at the end where Henry was going to fight... is it the Dauphin of France, whatever, played with Robert Pattinson? Those two would never have met on the battlefield. But anyway... And he got up in his suit of armour and went to walk on the muddy battlefield. And my brother was like, he would never be able to fight in a suit of armour. No one fought in a suit of armour. It just didn't happen. Suits of armour were for show. If you were caught in the middle of a battlefield in a suit of armour, you were fucked, because you can't move. And he walked onto this battlefield and was like, he's just going to fall over if the film's accurate. And in fairness to the film, he just slipped straight over and couldn't stand up and couldn't fight. And my brother was like, okay, they've kind of saved it a little bit. Because if he had some epic standoff in a suit of armour, I think that would have been fucking ridiculous. But again, I didn't like that film. I have beef with Timothée Chalamet personally. I think he's a bang average actor, but that's another episode.
that is something.
The new Wonka film looks shit. It looks shit.
Let's not get into Timothée Chalamet. Anyway, I quite liked that film. I thought it was stunning. I thought it was visually beautiful. But yeah, again... Yes, I'm aware there are inaccuracies and whatnot, and I don't know. Is the point to tell a story? Yes. Is the point to get people to learn a bit more about it? Probably not. Are you just using the story as something to, because it looks nice? Yeah, of course you are. You mentioned Shakespeare. I think if Shakespeare were around today, and if he was a footballer, he would join a Saudi team. That guy is a shill. I'm sorry. Shakespeare was a shill. That guy sold out every fucking where he went. That guy...
It's weird that this has gone to this.
As soon as Elizabeth died, that guy then started making fucking plays that suited the next monarch, because he knew, like, these guys need to pay me money. Like, I'm fucking making stuff that makes them look good. And then you get, like, all the Henry plays, or even the Richard plays, where like it makes him look like an absolute arsehole, because they were like, them Plantagenets, fuck them guys, it's all about the Tudors, fuck yeah, like that was all he was
this
about.
This is the
that-
thing, like most people assume Richard III was the most evil king this country has ever seen because of Shakespeare. He did some shady shit, but in the grand scheme of kings of England, he was alright, he was fine.
Yeah, and actually. Yeah, had scoliosis, but was not this evil hunchback. He was just made to look like that because it makes him look like a villain.
Yeah. It's weird. I was thinking about, this is so strange, I was literally thinking about Shakespeare earlier, and I was like, if he was around today and he had social media, he would be fucking insufferable.
Oh, he would live on X.
Yeah, he'd love it. It'd be besties with Elon Musk. I also think, like, he would have fucking thrived on Tumblr.
Oh, God, yeah. And you know that guy. I think... Shakespeare would have appeared on Joe Rogan. He'd be smoking, like, on the show.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. He just made up words. You can't. If I make up a word now, people are like, what are you doing? He just made up words, and everyone was like, this man is a genius.
Yeah, it's like 2,000 words or something he made in his time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think we'll ever be able to conclude this, but I just think, you know, where we stand, what do you think, listening, guys? Do you think historical films should be historical and accurate to a T, or can they have a little leeway, or can they just do whatever the fuck they want and it doesn't really matter? Let us know.
History is interesting. History has enough source material to be interesting.
Yeah.
Some films take the piss. I'm trying to think of examples, but nothing really springs to mind. I think Braveheart takes the piss a bit.
Yeah, absolutely takes the piss. The love interest.
But that's just Mel Gibson, though, isn't it?
We spoke about it when we done our episode on William Wallace. The love interest in Braveheart, she's some stunningly beautiful, like, French.
Yeah, in the first quarter of the film.
20-odd-year-old. And then actually, in real life, she would have been like 12 or 8 or something like that. And it's like, nah.
That film is, I don't know. It's not great.
If you would like an accurate, God, I'm putting some fucking pressure on myself. If you would like an accurate depiction or telling of the story of Napoleon, join us in the week of the 22nd when James comes back from Italy, because I've promised I will write an episode on the man himself. So that will be going out in the same week that the film comes out. So to try and coincide with that, you've got that coming. So look forward to that coming up. But yeah, let us know what you think. Lastly, so some little bit of homework. If you don't already subscribe to us on Patreon, I would consider doing so. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, there are a fuck ton of ads on the show now. I don't necessarily agree with it or like it. However, it is there for a reason. It's to sort of, you know, not just keep the lights on, but make sure we can actually fucking turn them on in the first place, because we have been around now, what, 4 years? And, you know, we've always said, I think we said in like year one, the dream is to make this our fucking jobs. You know what I mean? I'd love to get paid to do this. And we can do that with the ads. Now, to give you guys sort of an idea of where we're at, because the ads are not just there to fuck you off and ruin your listening experience. I try to put them in a sort of place them within the episode that doesn't sort of ruin the experience so much. But where we're at, so in terms of revenue made with these ads on, we've already made I think a quarter of what our distributor costs a year, and we've been doing it for now what, a month and a half, nearly 2 months running ads on the show. So that kind of gives you an idea of how successful they can be for us as a show, and that's why they're there, is so, you know, we don't necessarily have to pester you guys to sort of donate to the show and help us out. You guys can just listen to us and just let the ad people do their fucking work and pay us that way. And then we can pay the distributor. And then when we eventually start making a wee bit more money, we can then start getting some more bits out to go alongside that. So on that, as I said, I wouldn't ask you for money. Let's talk about Patreon. So on Patreon, if those ads are ruining your absolute life, you can join our Patreon. Every single episode, from episode one and going forward, will also be on Patreon, so that it is an ad-free experience. If you would like to do that, you can head over there and you can get ad-free episodes on Patreon. The smallest tier that we have is just £3 a month. That's simply it. £3 a month. It's what, less than a coffee at Starbucks to join the Patreon. And
bloody cost of living crisis.
Yeah, much less than a coffee at Starbucks, and you get every single episode ad-free. Plus, you get voting rights to future shows, which, if you don't know, we have had a poll running on Patreon to ask what an episode we're going to talk about soon again. And everyone has voted for us to talk about a man called Issei Segawa, who is a Japanese man who killed a lady in France and completely got away from it. So that will be coming soon as well. So, yeah, I think I may have plugged Patreon enough now.
But we need to mention the videos, because I think now is a really good time to hop on board, because we've got our Jack the Ripper documentary on there, which is well worth a watch. Just watch us wandering around Whitechapel speaking to Terry, who's a Ripperologist. Really, really good. Let me suck my own dick. And then we've got the documentary we recently filmed on the Hammersmith nude murders, which, I'm not going to lie, bangs. Like, when we were filming it, we all looked at each other at one point and went, what's this going to look like? I don't think this is going to look very good. And then turns out it looks fucking great. So that's again, another good piece of work. You've got my Italy documentary coming up, which I don't know if I film enough content. Maybe it'll be episodes. Who knows? That I'm just kind of freestyling that one. We've also got Ryan went to Poland and visited Auschwitz, and he's got a short sort of little doc coming up about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to do.
And we've got some bits in the pipeline as well. So James has mentioned his brother works for a Warwick Castle in the Midlands, and we are going to head over to Warwick Castle at some point and speak with James's brother and get a little bit of information about that place. I've got my drone. We're going to whip that up and get some nice aerial photography as well.
We need to discuss this because I think the castle's closed in January, which I think bodes well for us because we can go in.
Excellent.
With no one there. But I'll need to sort that with him.
So, yeah. Well, there you go, guys. So that was a nice, relaxed fit episode. Something to just listen to, you know, whilst you just, I don't know, folding.
It was a
laundry.
Panic episode because we didn't know what to do because I'm away until the 22nd. Let's call it what it is. We panicked.
There was nothing relaxed about getting this sorted. But no, thank you very much for listening, guys. I hope it's kept you going just for a little bit whilst James is gallivanting around Italy, eating all the pizza.
We will have stuff scheduled, though. So keep an eye on our socials because there will be articles going out about various things. Haven't written them yet. That's Friday's job. But they will be going out. So
yes,
we're not just going to completely go off the grid. And also, please engage with the articles because I spend time writing them and researching them. And if you don't know, I'm a writer throughout the day as well. So finishing my day as a writer to then go on and be a writer can sometimes be a little bit arduous. So a little bit of support goes a long way.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So yeah, we haven't plugged the socials in a long time. But yeah, head over to the socials. There's quite a bit going out. We've got regular posts coming up. So share them, like them, do whatever you like with them. And yeah, it's been great. So thank you very much for listening, guys. Really do appreciate you joining us again. And we'll see you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.